What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, we're live, and it is a historic day. November 3rd, 2020, election 2020. Today, we're live every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, but just so happens tonight is election night. How you doing there, Future Dan?
Yeah, we decided to do it, but being that we're a podcast, we got a dilemma. So if you're listening to this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, anytime throughout the rest of this week, what should we discuss that you won't already know? But for us, it's 8 p.m. on election night, and we're looking at states reporting live. And Prepper Broadcasting Network is going to be doing a show, multi-show election night special right after this in lieu of The Next Generation. So we want to get that started.
Well, yeah, and we actually are a live show. We do have live listeners. We've had callers before. So we are live every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern on PrepperBroadcasting.com. It's the best way to find our live episode. But the analytics don't lie. What can I say? I'm a data guy. 90% of our listens are pretty much between hour 2 after the show and hour 48. So, and that's, to be honest, almost every podcast I personally listen to. I listen to 5 hours to 5 days after it comes out. So it is kind of a predicament we're in. I mean, the state numbers are rolling in, so it actually is really perfect timing to get through some of this. So if you are listening live, you'll have a treat because we will be hitting some of this breaking news live. But on the flip side, if you are listening to this on November 4th, November 5th, November 6th, guess what? We're not going to just be talking about the, you know, what the initial results are looking like exactly state by state and kind of that, which everybody will know by the time. And we're going to get a little bit into that, but we're going to also talk a lot of the big pictures. And as always, the news blitz on FutureDanger.com.
So seeing one report here, watching live wires off of the Twitter feed, Biden winning Tennessee, that's not helpful for Donald Trump.
Big one they lost there, eh?
I don't know how accurate that is, but many, many reports saying Florida is solidly headed towards Trump. So, you know, the night is up for grabs as we speak live.
Well, there's something, a big question. I mean, well, first off, let's go ahead and plug our own show from last week, and I'll give you the mainstay of the credit for putting together the election vulnerability assessment. I mean, good news is we went through today without any major violent attacks. You know, we were, you know, potential terrorists or otherwise.
Yeah, no worst case.
That's great to know. So we're moving to next. I guess what is next on that list that might take place in the next 48 to 72 hours? You know, if they do not call the election tonight, for example, if it's too close to call in a few of the key states, what's that next shoe potentially to drop that could really cause turmoil? Not necessarily, this is different than last week. Last week we talked all about the Electoral College and the process. Now I'm talking more of the media, the culture, and maybe riots and other threats.
Yeah, well, tonight's about, is the vote stolen anywhere? And who does the stealing? And what mechanisms? And all, we went through all the variety of election fraud that can be underway. And in the second segment, Patriot Power Hour tonight. We're going to give you live updates in the last 72 hours of reports of election situations endangering election fraud. Let's just say it that way. Not there. I'm not seeing any blatant acts of it being accused yet by any media source. So it's more about polling stations having problems, power going down, machines going down. But then again, there's dead people getting caught voting in New York City. So we'll talk about that in the next segment.
For sure, for sure. A little bit, do you have any stories you wanted to tell about if you, you know, assuming you did when you went and voted today or by mail, did you have any interesting stories to tell? Me personally, I did not vote at all. And that's something that we could talk about later.
You looked at the ballot, though.
I looked at the ballot because my wife voted. I refused to vote. And that's because I feel like I vote every day. And that's with my actions. And that's with my dollar, where I spend it. And that's with this radio show, etc. I do not, I cannot commit myself to voting for Trump. And in the state I live in, it's not going to matter, to be honest. But I just cannot participate in that. And some people will say that I can therefore cannot complain, or I'm not a patriot, and so many people died for my right to vote. And personally, I say they also died for my right to not vote. I just want to put that out there personally. I don't know if you had any other thoughts yourself or thoughts on that. Now that I've come out of the closet, I did not vote.
It's because you're an accelerationist, right?
I think that's part of it. I'm just sick of it all. I have voted in the past. I did vote for Ron Paul in the Republican primary in 2008, for example, and a couple other times I had voted. But, and for more for like local stuff.
But you've
I think
never
that's,
participated in voting between the two candidates that actually had a chance to win.
In president, correct.
Right.
Correct. So, and I do that. It's not even like a protest vote. It's like, I don't even think of it like that. I'm just like, I refuse to participate in this system where the candidates are so poor and I'm not going to go do a write-in or something, you know, like it's just, now I should probably, you know, I have voted actually in off years, local and congressional. I'm in referendums and stuff like that, whatever. But yeah, I did not vote this year, and it's not because of COVID or anything either. You know, so just wanted to get that out there. I really, if someone has feedback for me for positive or negative, feel free, hit me up on Twitter. I know that I've said this to people before, and some people are like totally with me. Some people are like, wow, man, I totally, anything you said, you know, you're dead to me. You know what I mean? Like, you said so much good stuff until you said that you don't vote. And so that's just how I am, though.
Yeah. Do you remember the movie Heat with Pacino and De Niro?
No.
Did not see that. Don't remember it.
Nope, I don't think I saw it. Heat?
That's a mistake of yours. Anyways, it's a really good movie.
All right.
Crime movie, right? John Voight is like this underground organized
okay.
guy.
I think I know John Voight at least.
At a certain point, one character goes to him and you know, has a problem, wants something, and John Voight's character says, free country, brother. You can do what you want.
That's how I look at it, too.
It's the way it has to be, in my book. If you're not on board with either of these candidates and you don't feel like doing it, that's a big part. That's the third segment of the vote, right? How many people stay home?
Yeah. No, for sure.
So I view it as really always have voting against lesser of two evils, right? You just got to go and vote against the closest, meanest yeah. dog. Got to, you know, like put them out of, keep them out of power. Keep them out of, you know, Keep that sort of thing at arm's length.
It's like a chess move.
Yeah.
More of, I definitely see, that's the thing, that my mind is very analytical, and most things I am like game theory, like, and I put emotion or like pride and just overall like just disgusted with the system.
Once
I don't want to participate
in
it.
Of explaining to the conventional way of thinking is, who'd you vote for? Oh, you voted for, and you have to like own it. Oh, you voted for. Whoever.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what probably pisses me off the most.
Right. Then you just change your mindset and you vote for the rest of your life. Vote yeah. against that which is the most dangerous to the Republic and your own well-being. And just always tell people that's how you do it.
Who did you vote against? What did you vote against? I'm not anti-voting. I'm not anti, you know,
anti-voting. for goodness sake, yes. For the Patriot Power Hour.
Like, right.
Being able to vote in our countries, it's kind of fundamental.
Yeah, but like you said, being able not to vote, I think only in like certain dictatorships are you forced to vote, compulsive voting at all times. But what really, around election time, it actually makes me, this happened in 2016 to some extent, but almost more this time around, how definitely not people on Prepper Broadcasting Network, the hosts nor the listeners to a great, great degree, but most of the rest of the population. The other 3.5 years, they might bitch and complain a little bit, but they're not actually getting active in any regard. They're not putting forth solutions. They're not looking at big picture. At most, they're just, you know, reading Washington Post or CNN, you know, listening to CNN or some mainstream, not really digging in deep thinking for themselves, I guess. But then they get so high and mighty around the election, like, oh, if you have no right to complain about anything if you don't vote. That attitude is what makes me, ugh, revolting, in my opinion. Because they're so uppity about it. That's what pisses me off. They're not really, it's virtue signaling.
Some of this gets
virtue signaling is what they're doing. They're like, oh, I voted. I don't do anything else to try to help the community or the economy or people or culture in general or try to wake people up. No, I voted. Oh, and if you don't vote, then you're part of the problem. I don't know. I know I'm kind of on a soapbox rant here, but what can I say?
Yeah, the sooner you don't really care about any of that, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. Well, that's why this is all like what I've thought and gone through and stuff, but I don't really care anymore. So I definitely do feel more free about it, though. And what I posted today, and it got a lot of, you know, likes on social media and comments and retweets and all that crap, but it did get a lot of support, both from people I know in real life as well as just through, you know, the advocacy and radio shows, et cetera, that I've done, is that no matter who wins today, you're still going to be a debt slave to the international banksters. No matter who wins. Now, you can say maybe if Trump wins, we'll be spending less. He'll try to fight against tax cut or increase in tax. That all might be true, but he's still selling us out to the banksters, in my opinion. He wanted the Fed to cut rates to zero and do massive quantitative easing before COVID. He's not trying to get rid of the Federal Reserve system.
I don't know how he's selling us out. I don't
he's not trying to get the banksters in jail. No, he's not trying to get anyone in jail on Wall Street. I'll tell you that.
The verb sell out implies it's still able to be sold out. That's 1913. We already talked about it many times in the show.
Yeah.
Once the Federal Reserve was in place and established and then ran for decades and decades with very little question. It was by the 60s that the John Birch Society was part of pointing out that it's not a good thing. It's been, you know, 40 years since before enough people even see it, right? For you to have grown up, to have heard about it, meant a lot of people had to, you know, talk about it a lot to even get it out that far in the open. Because central banking is a given for centuries in Europe, right? It's just the way. So, you know, I don't think Trump's, you know, he can't be sold out. Maybe he's not doing enough to, you know, extract us. We can have that discussion, but...
Yeah, I think... Okay, fair enough. I suppose you could say this with a lot of politicians on a lot of stances, but when he was running up against Hillary and Obama was in office, he was saying how the Fed and all the debt spending, et cetera, was really just blowing up the biggest bubble of all time. I mean, it's humongous. And I wish I had the sound clips right here. But now he's saying, oh, I now have the best stock market. I had this... Guess what? It's because of the national debt has gone from $16 trillion to $27 trillion in 4 years.
Player, hate the game, right? That guy is pretty much saying whatever he has to try to retain power.
Well, I don't know.
He's talking about, you know, trying to get enough votes. So being straight up with us on issues and not, you know, getting all over the map on many, many issues, he has never cared about that. He'll say what he needs to say to retain power.
Right.
As it pretty much seems everybody will.
Which is a problem, too. So, anyway, that is why I cannot be a politician, though. I'm too ideological. And people that are like that, unfortunately, have blinders. So, you need people sometimes to get out there and get real stuff done rather than just talk about political theory and what sounds good. So it's a balance, I'll admit, for sure.
So now I'm seeing reports that Tennessee's close.
Okay.
And many places aren't calling it, but that would be...
Dang. All right.
For Trump to come back from with a loss in Tennessee.
We'll keep that going. We're going to break, news blitz, and some more on election 2020. Keep grinding it out here on the Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us.
Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Man, I see in Fight Club the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see it squandered. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour is back and live as always. Heading into the news blitz, futuredanger.com. Follow along on this November 3rd, 2020. Let's get into some news and trends that are not only about the election tonight. We'll start in the natural side of things. Actually got a really bad hurricane hitting Nicaragua right now. Also a typhoon battering the Philippines. Over a dozen killed by a magnitude 7 earthquake in the Greece-Turkey border region. And a topic we haven't talked about for quite some time, but if you dig back in the archives, we talked about CRISPR a lot when it first kind of broke. But CRISPR gene editing can lead to big mistakes in human embryos. Check out that article. That's enough. Actually, that's all we have on the fourth column. So let's move on to the third column, focus on economics. Not a crazy amount of news, kind of everyone's waiting to see what happens tonight with the election. Do have a few articles and a couple indicators to take a look at, though. Second coronavirus stockpiling wave is expected. People panic buying toilet paper and lots of other stuff, of course, here on Prepper Broadcast and Network. Hopefully you've been stockpiling in the summer while everyone's kind of happy-go-lucky, thought everything was back to normal, and hopefully you were stockpiling prepping even before then. We got Zeta. That is out of the Gulf of Mexico. Another hurricane, 2 million without power. But not much really else on economics. The Dow Jones up this week to start. Like I said, though, waiting to see. Bitcoin up since last week, broke 14,000 just an hour ago, back down to 13,800. Extremely strong for Bitcoin. And gold and silver, not at all-time highs, but quite nice. If you have invested in any of that in the last 10 years, you are definitely above water in a good way. Moving on, second column. Security. A lot of this is actually focused on the election. And in 2, 3, 4 days, when maybe some of our listeners are listening to the podcast archive, listen, then maybe this will be a lot more prevalent and a lot, I'm not going to say foreshadowing, but maybe it'll be nothing. We'll see. But these are trending and breaking. Across America, businesses boarding up in anticipation of election night chaos. National Guard arriving in Philadelphia following several days of riots. That already took place, but heading into tonight and beyond. I'm sure it's going to accelerate. Massachusetts, I think I said it right. I'm not from the Northeast, but I said it. National Guard activated for Election Day. National Guard troops arrive in multiple cities ahead of election night chaos. So, all different states. We've seen a little bit of pre-election violence by BLM and Antifa as well. Philadelphia City Council strips cops of rubber bullets and tear gas. So, bringing in the National Guard, but also stripping the cops. I don't know. That's kind of maybe leading to some bad things. The cops get overrun, the National Guard actually have to step in. Just a thought. Hopefully not. Continuing real quick, though, internationally, can't get total blinders domestically. Excuse me. Active Iranian threat against American military leaders has been reported. We're also seeing Massachusetts governor ordering a curfew for businesses and gatherings, reducing the limits and tightening a mask mandate. Not much else internationally, although I'm sure China and Russia take not laying by idly, but we'll leave that to a future episode of Patriot Power Hour. Finally, these are urgent, but still relatively low level at this point. They could, if shown to be linked together or larger than they look on their face, could be much bigger. But let's really quickly run through some. Again, these are headlines, but you can click through all these articles and get great detail from the source document. Thousands of ballots in Pennsylvania may be missing. In Georgia, a judge orders Postal Service to find ballots in Atlanta and elsewhere. In South Carolina, there's a lot of Wi-Fi and power woes slowing voting. Ohio, electronic check-in system failing. They have to go to paper poll books for Franklin County. Pennsylvania, voting machine issues cause delay. Also in Georgia, glitch causing major issues at the polls in Spalding County. So a lot of this is, you know, kind of precinct or county level, and doesn't look like it's absolutely, you know, it's slowing voting, but hopefully not absolutely preventing it. 300 election lawsuits across 44 states just getting started. We have found some dead people caught voting in New York City. In Connecticut, election officials work around jammed ballot scanners. Again, a lot of this low level, but if it was found to be linked together, kind of a more than just a coincidence or much more widespread than here. That's why we report on this here, Future Danger and Patriot Power Hour. Moving on, a couple more articles, and I'll pass it on to Future Dan, get his thoughts and maybe some more updates on election 2020. Michigan governor demands full names, phone numbers for all restaurant customers. Definitely overstepping reasonable bounds, in my opinion. California threatens to arrest 12-year-old for missing 3 Zoom classes. Got a couple other smaller articles. Twitter reinstates New York Post account after 16-day suspension. New York Post has been around for literally centuries.
Founded by Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not even a fan of Mr. Hamilton, but
there you go.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I will even vouch for that. Nice, off the cuff, beautiful. With that, let me just pass back to you. What caught your eye? And what else is going on right now?
Yeah, nothing on the heat map because Trump won Florida. Florida's picked the president since 96. So 24 straight years. We the president needed to have that to win.
So locked in, 100% are pretty darn near.
A lot of sources calling it.
What are you? Actually, that's a great segue. I mean, again, this will not be interesting in a few days, but if we have some live listeners right now, we will be having this Patriot Power Hour. We're going to go off the air at 9 p.m. Eastern, but the rest of the crew on PBN is coming in hot for, I think, 3+ hours.
Yeah, hot take. They're going to go as long as they can. And
exactly.
Just kind of think through, what it all means and just reactions.
So, gosh darn it. After that news blitz, I kind of worn out. I forgot the exact point I was going to make. But interesting to know about Florida. Interesting to see how things are developing. You say Florida really has decided the president since when? 96?
Yeah, 1996.
Okay. Oh, I remember my point now. Sorry. People won't care about this in a few days. But if you're listening live, you may, and I'm just interested in myself. What have you found as your best, or maybe a few of the best sources for kind of the state-by-state elections? Are you using the CNNs and the Yahoos of the world, or you have a few other sources?
So, I look at Twitter and lists.
Okay. Well, the lists that you've put together?
They're private lists.
Okay.
And one of them's called Wires. It's the mainstream media, right? And there's another one that's more conservative-oriented, but still mainstream media like Daily Caller, Breitbart. And, obviously what the mainstream media, the liberal media, admits to its viewerships is really important. So I'm just looking at the Wires list tonight. And, if you must know, it has 47 members ranging from Axios and, Epoch Times to the National Desk, AFP News Agency, Reuters, CNN.
Okay.
All, CBS, ABC, NBC.
So, and this is, in my opinion, the best way to use Twitter. Yeah, you can talk to people and find people that are like-minded, but sourcing your own news like you've done, and I do something similar, not as intense as you. You do really, I'm impressed, really impressed with what you do, actually. I need to work on mine, but point is, you don't have to go to one website or two websites. You pretty much have it all coming to you, and you curate it. So that's why I think social media gets a bad rap. There is a lot of bad stuff about it, but it is a really powerful tool, and I do use it, and I'll continue to use it as a tool in that regard.
Yeah, so I want to jump back to the election being stolen indicator tonight. It's green. Okay. You got literally every instance through open source internet searches possible of today's glitches, slowdowns, mishaps, irregularities going on. And it's going to be those large number of ballots that were found and destroyed in the recent weeks, that everybody's going to point back to. That many ballots were invalidated or found trash in the street. And that's how close it was. So Pennsylvania clearly is shaping up as a vital state for Biden to hold if he's going to take Trump's office.
How is he? It looks like from one of the sources I'm looking at, Pennsylvania is still super, super preliminary. Yeah.
Look at the Wires and there's no calls.
Very preliminary. Okay.
Yeah, AP reports Biden leading Trump in Texas with 42% of the vote in. So Texas is, potentially, could that actually flip to Democrat this year? I mean, that would be the end for Trump.
That'd be pretty crazy. It's close, still less than, I don't know.
I got to be honest, I don't know how that would happen. But if it does,
I would.
We have a long 4 years to find out.
I have no idea if this is true, so I probably shouldn't even pontificate. We are going to keep on moving. About to hit a break before we finish off the Patriot Power Hour for the night. Perhaps maybe the cities report more quickly than the rural areas in Texas. So maybe the rural areas much more likely to be red. Because only 44% have reported in Texas. But maybe Texas did flip blue. That would be crazy. I know a lot of people moving from California to Austin. And Houston, of course, is a bastion of blue. So, all right. Well, I guess it's going to keep on rolling, on the Patriot Power Hour. Of course, follow us, myself, on Twitter, at Bankster Breaker. Bankster Breaker. One word. Future Dan, where can they find you?
Future Danger 6.
Future Danger 6 on Twitter. I know you got thousands and thousands of followers. I know you've been hitting it hard for quite some time, so valuable resource for everybody to go. Future Danger 6. All right. We'll be back. Check out our commercial here. Patriot Power Hour.
Looks more fitting for a woman.
Do you know much about guns, Mr. Bond?
No. I know a little about women.
Who are you?
My name is Pussy Galore.
I must be dreaming.
What could be easier?
Perhaps you'd call one for me.
Of course.
Seems terribly difficult. No, it isn't, is it?
No.
World domination. Same old dream. Our asylums are full of people who think they're Napoleon or God.
How do you know my friends call me Domino?
It's on the bracelet on your ankle.
So, what sharp little eyes you've got.
Wait till you get to my teeth.
They told me you were assassinated in Hong Kong.
Yes, this is my second life.
Too many free radicals, that's your problem.
Free radicals, sir?
Yeah, they're toxins that destroy the body and the brain. Caused by eating too much red meat and white bread and too many dry martinis.
Then I shall cut out the white bread, sir.
Do you lose as gracefully as you win?
I wouldn't know. I've never lost.
Sorry, Mr. Bond. Obviously caught you at a bad moment.
M sent you.
Only to plead for your return, sir. M says that without you in the service, he fears for the security of the civilized world.
Never again.
Never?
Are you prepared to be the family doctor in a disaster or emergency? This is the Intrepid Commander, and I'm holding the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy, MD. In this great book, you'll learn how to prepare for medical care off the grid. You'll learn about assessment and stabilization. You'll even deal with things like bioterrorism response, radiation, and how to build the off-grid medical kit at home. Look, 2020 taught us a lot about the limitations of our medical infrastructure in America. Get the Prepper's Medical Handbook today at Amazon.com. Again, that's the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy.
Of every man, I am a real American. Fight for what's right, fight for your life.
Patriot Power Hour coming back at you. We're still live and we're still on election night 2020, November 3rd, 2020. 8:35 p.m. Eastern Time right now, 5:35 West Coast. Starting to see all the Eastern time zones. Well, many states have been called. From what I see here, about 8 have been called for red and maybe 8 for blue. That's pretty even. But, of course, it comes down to those swing states. Florida really heading towards Trump. What I'm looking at here looks like it's pretty much guaranteed. You said, well, Tennessee is absolutely giving a Trump blowout, looks like, actually. Now, that was supposed to be maybe a swing. So, apparently, though, you read that the Biden camp saying they still got quite the chance, you know, or they started to get real desperate. And here's another question. I know that you have a lot more political acumen than me. When in 2016 did you think, holy shit, Trump just took it? Was it this time of night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock? And Wisconsin. When will you know? When do you think we'll know tonight, if we will?
Wisconsin.
Okay.
Wisconsin, Michigan. If either of those go Trump, Biden's gone.
It's game over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pennsylvania?
Michigan? Because Michigan looking, it's still very early, but Michigan's, it's on Team Trump. Seems like I don't know. I think this is working out in Trump's favor. At this rate, it seems like he's doing better than I had expected.
Nothing's fatal for either guy right now.
Yeah.
Which is why we went through all the scenarios where you just make it to 250, 260
yeah.
Electoral college votes, and no one gets 270. And this whole
yeah.
attempt at an election, 50 elections, produces no winners.
I'm really glad you brought that up. Again, go back to last week's episode. Episode 116, correct?
Right.
Episode 116, we went through all the different threats from before Election Day to Election Day all the way to inauguration and everything in between, and even really maybe post-inauguration date as some contingencies could kick in. So if you really, we're not going to do a deep dive on that right now, but you're right. We could, it seems, hey, you know, it's a back and forth boxing match here, but if it ends up being a draw, looking like a majority draw, one of the judges can't finish or there's some sort of major, major corruption, they're just not reporting tonight. Well, as we talked about, they're going to be working that over the next 2-3 weeks plus, more than a month until early December.
Yeah.
So it is quite a long tail on that.
We'll see how overwhelming this goes. If it's overwhelming, we won't have days and days of boxes of ballots showing up out of nowhere to get counted. But I'll throw you a curveball. 10-year yield down 4 basis points to 0.86% tonight. What's the long run view for our financial future? And how disconnected is that to anything everybody else is talking about tonight?
Wow. Drop the nuclear bomb, but that's what I'm here for.
Catch it.
I feel as if with Biden, negative interest rates are absolutely coming. And with Trump, they're going to come, but maybe not right away. And that's what I mean by that is just the absolute incredible issuance of debt and increased, if you can believe it, central bank stimulation and all the other international cooperation and plans that a Biden presidency would bring about, if you know what I mean. So we're in a financial ruin already, and interest rates can only go down else the Ponzi scheme collapses. But if Biden gets in, that is going to accelerate. And you call me an accelerationist, and this is kind of what I'm talking about. Financial system is totally sick. It is unrecoverable at this point. We have to totally reboot it. I would not prefer to reboot it in a much better manner than letting it collapse, but letting it collapse now might be better than letting it collapse in 5 years when it's just going to be worse and worse and worse and do even more damage. If that makes sense, it's a very complicated topic.
Yeah, but there's nowhere near enough people voting tonight to have any idea of how to reboot that. That's the sad reality of rebooting our financial system has to be the result of violence, like civil war.
Unfortunately, a great percentage, yeah, on both sides would say that, but especially on the left would say, yeah, you want to reboot the system? Let's burn it all down and get rid of capitalism and all the systemic issues and we'll have a whole new utopia. Well, that is not what I am looking at by any means. I'm not talking about capitalism or free markets either. I'm talking about
restoring
some actual markets. Right now, what J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs and all these other banksters are doing is totally not real capitalism.
Removing the state from interference in the markets in a significant way, multi-generational way. That's a reset. And that's what's going to happen if they try to push it to a different type of outcome too far into the future that's total state control.
Absolutely. The way I look at it now, I'm just pulling these numbers out. What can I say? I'm a numbers guy. 93% of statistics are made up. Right now, our economy is like 60% private, 40% public, kind of is how I look at it, which is way too much public. But I think we're still a majority private. That's real close. But with Biden and him continuing down that road, it's going to cross that 50-50 mark. And what I mean is 50%+ of our production is, and what I mean spending as well, is government programs, you know, all the taxes, massive expansion of Medicare, all that stuff.
Yeah, but that
sounds great, but, you know, that's just moving every inch closer to big government.
That, by definition, is the unproductive portion of the economy.
Exactly, exactly. So
you're talking about the government producing a portion of... The government cannot, by definition, produce gross domestic product.
Right. It just crowds out. So it'll metastasize and get bigger and crowd out more private enterprise.
And that's its inevitable trajectory, is to... To dominate private life, and it's called the Soviet Union.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called People's Republic of China. Tonight it'll be a big question whether this country took a step into having that. Now, before I sound too Chicken Little, we had the Great Depression and FDR and the New Deal, which was a massive fundamental intervention. But before that, and we covered it in Patriot Power Hour episodes many, many times, 1913 and what that Congress did by passing the Federal Reserve into existence. But we had Great Society in the 60s, and we had the previous presidency 8 years of a massive growth in debt and federal intrusion. And I've said it a lot of times, this current sitting president, part of his success in 4 years in stimulating the economy, all they do is show up and roll back regulations.
Right.
And they are all going to get clamped right back down by
and then some.
Administration.
Exactly. And then some.
Does the country know that's inevitable by January, February, March? We'll see that. And it won't be just the same. It won't be the same regulations you had 4 years ago. They've had time to think about how to do it even more
nefarious,
even further into the economy. The regulations, every new presidency that does this, it gets more insidious.
That's great. I think you hit on so many damn good points there.
And that's why I vote against that stuff.
That makes sense.
I don't vote for, but I do.
You're voting against the metastasizing cancer, not for the other candidate.
Never. Yeah.
And I think you laid out a great timeline there. And again, these are numbers I'm sort of quote-unquote making up, but illustrative and sort of where I gauge it. 1913 brought the economy made the economy much more centralized. Let's say it made it 15-20% centralized and kind of federal, right? And then the New Deal and all the public works. There are benefits to this. You get the Hoover Dam and you get some other stuff, but it's so much wasted potential. Won't go down that diatribe too much, but that centralized and put more power into the government. Obviously,
could have said NASA. Maybe.
Now I'm going after World War II. Okay. It got a next phase.
Hoover Dam.
The massive military industrial complex, as Eisenhower called it himself.
I'll trade the Hoover Dam for not having had the New Deal.
Well, a lot of good stuff was done, but exactly. Now we got Social Security that's still here. We got the Hoover Dam still, but now we got this bloated $1 trillion.
Because they're both going to come.
Yeah, the Hoover Dam was going to collapse before Social Security blows up. So, as you said, you got the Great Society, and then you have it just continues to march. And there's like ebbs and flows. So Reagan comes in and tries to peel some back. But in the end, 20 years later, we're more than we were before. And, maybe a little bit of a stripping it back, but then we at that next level, and now we're going to have carbon taxes. What about all the COVID stuff going on? You see the lockdowns they're doing in Europe, Canada, freaking UK. They're already in mandatory lockdown and can get fined. I mean, they're trying to do this stuff in New York City and other places as well. With the Biden, they're definitely pushing for this even more so.
We got to project COVID. What does COVID mean to the country 2 weeks from now? And I'm making the call that if Trump wins, it's the worst ever. And we got, it's like the groundhog coming out. 4 more years of COVID. And if Biden wins,
I see where you're going with this.
There'll be a spike and there'll be there'll be between now and January 20th, all the talk of all the, federally mandated restrictions that are coming in, and they'll come in big and heavy and really repress states that, defy federal authority. But by next summer, somehow it won't even be the most important thing on the national agenda. So if you need 4 more years of COVID, vote Trump.
Well, I mean, that's definitely from the media spin. He would, of course, try to fight back against it.
All of Biden's voters will demand to have COVID for 4 more years. They're going to really need it because... Yeah, how are they going to explain?
Well, this is the thing.
What they thought was going to happen today to themselves if they don't win.
But I feel like COVID is much more of a global attack, you know. So this American president has something to do with it, but it's bigger than that, too. So I think they're going to be pushing COVID hardcore, that narrative, and the vaccines, forced vaccines even, and surveillance state. No matter who wins, they're going to be pushing that hard, in my opinion.
It's nowhere near as lethal as we thought it could be in March.
Definitely.
On this show, we talked about it from January to March, and you didn't know if something was going to show up and mutate and become, you know, tens of times more lethal than flu and be one of those. But it wasn't one of those.
That's true.
It's worse than the typical.
Remember,
flu,
we had and
a lot worse.
We love the chatters and the people on Prepper Broadcast Network. But we had someone in the chat. I remember in March saying this is going to be horrible. It's going to be like Italy. We're going to have, you know, a million dead by the summer. And we were saying, I don't know if we're going to see that, but we could. We were preparing. We're talking about it. It was a freaky situation. Wake up call. It's not over yet either. But it didn't end up having a million dead. And even if it was 1 million out of 300 million, that's a run-of-the-mill pandemic. So yeah, that's not even insanely bad. So you're absolutely right, though, that COVID turned out not really, definitely not to kill people without the side effects. It is pretty bad, and it's certainly a biological weapon, looks like. So it is a big deal. It's not a total hoax, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, once we saw it wasn't as lethal, and then once Congress passed, you know, funding to hospitals where COVID cases are reimbursed, and the figure I heard was $39,000 per patient. How did you not prevent everybody from goal-seeking every fatality that comes through the hospital
right. Is
ascribed to COVID? And once that all kind of...
They put a bounty on it.
Yeah, you know, person died of a motorcycle accident, and 6 weeks earlier they have the antibodies from COVID. It was, you know, listed as COVID. I don't think the numbers are right. I don't think it's as lethal as we thought. But
no,
I do think it was a hybrid form of warfare brought about to affect this election.
Oh, well, this is really what it has already done and will continue to do even more so if Biden wins. Shut America's economy down and allow the Chinese economy to continue to gain on us. Yeah. Big time. They are back to work 110%. Totally. So they're still gonna try to shut us down. You know, there's a lot of folks that want to use COVID to their advantage and wanted to promulgate, right? But if Biden gets in, that we're gonna have someone in the White House that's working with those forces to create more panic and more solution. You know, I think what you said is right. Maybe more panic up until inauguration, and then all of a sudden, everything's fixed. Or, you know, within a few months, you did this. Hey, you got the ID card. The vaccine's coming. No worries. It's all good now. Biden's in control. I don't know.
What ID card?
A new ID card they're coming out with in 2021. You never heard?
I'm not getting one.
You're chipped, you know? Oh, yeah, it's implanted. No, I'm just sorry. Oh, go down that thing. All right, well, we only got like 7-8 minutes left, and we're going to get off the air and let the entire rest of the Prepper Broadcasting crew get on live. So if you're listening live, you got to stick around after Patriot Power Hour. But here's my question, and I asked you this before we went on air, and we talked a little bit about it, but really not that much. But I know that you spoke with the Intrepid Commander a little bit about this as well. If Biden wins... Let's just say he wins convincingly, whether it's now or in a couple weeks, it's over. He won. There might have been some fraud, but he won. It's not realistic to contest it. Even Trump concedes even. Let's say freaking Trump concedes. Then what do we do? Are we prepared? Have people been thinking of enough contingency? What do we actually do if Trump loses?
It was actually more dangerous if this is the future. It's actually more dangerous when Trump was president. These riots this summer were unprecedented. I can't see how they would foster that level of violence in the streets, right? But, a vote for Biden just to stop riots is,
Yes, and riots are... You've mentioned this many times on the show that since Trump got elected, the future danger articles and indicators have been not as crazy, and there's not been as much. So riots aside and a couple other things
until
aside.
March,
What are you thinking there?
Until March. Then it wasn't true. Then it was some of the historically worst news we've ever seen.
No. I know. I agree.
Yeah.
But
for up until March.
What were some of the things that maybe you saw under Obama or would have seen under Hillary that did not show up much in Future Danger that you think might show up under a Biden?
First Amendment, religious freedom, Second Amendment, all of it and all the permutations.
Okay.
Fourth Amendment, out of control surveillance. Fifth Amendment, due process will be challenged, especially at the state level under a DOJ that is they know is doing it as well. So, you know, this Department of Justice is going to escape punishment with a Biden presidency, and probably it's cancerous, it's dangerous, but it's not going to get cut out, so it gets worse, right? This federal state, this deep state is going to be, you know, that if the deep state wins tonight,
more entrenched,
it is going to be
more emboldened too.
So you'll see that kind of security and liberty news.
Yeah.
Economically, I don't think this financial elite want to crumble it under Biden, but they sure seem to happy to do it with Trump in March.
Well, yeah, that's always a complicated one because it's more than political. There are politics to central banking and world finance, but
there's massive market forces worldwide.
But yeah, that stuff is there's a lot of other variables at play that can outweigh or. Yeah. Anyway, but no, I agree. I think he almost went down like the Bill of Rights, and that was a way to do it. Religious freedom, specifically for the First Amendment. We've been seeing the First Amendment getting eviscerated for many years on many administrations, but the religious freedom in particular, I could see that. Second Amendment, though, is the ding, ding, ding winner. I mean, Second Amendment, definitely. I'm not coming after your assault rifles. Yeah, sure, Uncle Joe. And surveillance state, we've already seen that creeping, more than creeping, the last 10-plus years, even under Trump, not really being reversed, but certainly that would accelerate big time. So, I think the situation we're in financially and otherwise is very precarious as it is right now. And all of those, essentially every one of those will get worse under Biden. So there you go. There's your game theory of voting against Biden. It's not going to get better voting for Trump, but it'll get worse voting for Biden.
And what would the Biden administration's orientation towards Russia be?
Man,
they've said a lot of things for 4 years.
Yeah.
That could put us in, you know, nose to nose with the Russians again. And Russia would take a Biden victory as a requirement to become very defensive.
Conversely, what about China? They may kind of acquiesce Taiwan or Hong Kong a little more easily, kind of give those up. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe just take them in front of our very eyes.
Would you think that would happen?
And let Biden's administration capitulate it.
I guess you're right, the commander in chief, if Biden and his administration told the generals don't
stand down,
yeah, Taiwan's and admirals, gone. They would have to.
Presidential order.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. So, with only a few minutes left, we're going to get off. What's kind of that last update you might have? And any other thoughts as we head into the last couple minutes? Any last thoughts on the election? Election 2020, or really anything. I mean, we covered a lot of other topics too.
Well, Trump's still in it with Florida tonight, and there's news articles coming across the feed here that ABC is saying that it's going to take at least until Friday to count all of Pennsylvania's votes. So this might be a discussion next Tuesday.
This might be evergreen.
What went down in Philly tonight?
Oh, man.
Philadelphia might be epicenter like Broward County was. And, you know, I have a recollection of a piece of news. Listeners out there can double-check me, but I believe it's true from Future Danger archives that, unfortunately, were lost in a great data wipeout prior to January of 2017. We did things to make sure it doesn't ever happen again. The archive has been secure ever since. It's downloadable on the site. But under the elections are stolen indicator in 2016, there was a precinct in Philadelphia that had several thousand votes all for Hillary Clinton. Not a single Trump vote was recorded in a multi-thousand person district of a precinct of Philadelphia. That clearly rated as elections being stolen in a very small way. When you destroy votes, which is what it would take to get that kind of result, like 4,900 to zero, doesn't happen anywhere except for in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. And I have a background in statistics and just some common sense. And guess what?
Someone's going to make
I couldn't even fill out 40,000 ballots correctly myself. I would make one mistake minimum. Even if I wanted to do it correctly. Circle A 40,000 times, somehow I do B on accident. I just know it. And it's just statistically impossible. So
somebody's going in crazy. There and throwing a vote just because they're somebody they live with and their family they're so annoyed with just to vote against them. So watch Philadelphia. Hopefully we're not talking about it next week on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. But that's if I had to project, that's a place that has to be watched closely tonight. And our lineup coming up next at 9 p.m. is, that's my tip to them. Start with Pennsylvania and bring us right into what's going on there, and then we have hosts around the nation, right? Northwest, Northeast, Mid-Atlantic. They will cover it all from all of their perspectives. Coming up next on Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Sky. Drink some margaritas by swinging blue lights. Listen to the mariachi play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you?